Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast. I am Mr. Parker Kern here along with Father Jeff McBeth for the first time ever, Mr. Parker Kern. Whether you are joining us for the first time today or for the 50, however many times, thank you for making us part of your day today. Father, what is going on?
Oh, man. Like yeah. No, that's it's good. It's going good. Going good. So I love that you mentioned that.
Mr. Parker Kern.
First podcast as a married man.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's right. It takes on a whole new level.
It's weird getting used to the ring on the left hand. Because I had the ring. I had a trainer and many people had made comments, not bad comments, but just they had commented like, oh, it's so nice that you're wearing a ring. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're signifying to everyone that you're, you know, in love and that you're in a committed relationship. I said, well, that's great. But really what I'm trying to do is train my brain to make sure that my hand, because again, as you know, I use my hands for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times I'm fidgety with stuff. I like to, you know, if I have a watch on or if I have something, you know, I can't wear those things to sleep at night because I get all, I can't, you know, I have to have it off.
Right.
So I knew that I needed to train my brain. So for the last, I mean, what was it? 2 years and 3 days, I had worn the engagement ring, which is just, you know, a $7 Amazon ring. And wait till you guys see what Marissa got me this weekend. It's it's something special. It's not quite as nice as hers, but it's beautiful. So, but I'm wearing that now, obviously, and it's on the left hand, which is correct. But the science step up
from the $7.
No, but the science behind it, what I was trying to train my brain to do was, even though it was on the incorrect hand, it was to know that there was something there, like to understand that sensorially, you know what I mean? Like there's something there. Mm-hmm. So when I put this on, it's not an issue. It's not like I'm like, oh, it's weird. Like I feel good with it.
Nice.
So, and it goes on like butter and it's just, it fits perfect.
Nice. Yeah.
So, obviously not necessarily all about that, but I wanted to prove to everyone that the science was correct. And I was very forthright about that to the people at the jewelry store a couple weeks ago. I was picking Marissa's back up because hers had to go in for service and get the band ready. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you're not going to believe what happened. And then they were like, that's really great. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Wow.
Do you want a bottle of wine with that?
I know.
Yeah, I would. Thank you.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
You're offering.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. I you know, paid probably to keep the lights on for the next 3 weeks. So at least you can do is give me a bottle.
Exactly.
So anyways, Father, that's all well and good. What a beautiful celebration that was. Thank you to you for officiating. That meant a lot to us that you were there with
us. My pleasure. That's great.
That's great. You didn't have to catch me.
Yeah. Yeah. And good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have as much new.
Greatest day of my life. No. For sure. Well, I wanted to talk about, I had an idea this morning as I was outside. It was, you know, obviously the last couple of weeks it's been, you know, up and down with the weather, and you know, last week we kind of had a little bit more, I would call it soupy weather, like it's just kind of, you know, cloudy and gray out and maybe a little fog, maybe a little rain here and there. What are some of your favorite fall traditions? Do you have any fall traditions that you maybe even if you were a kid or
nah,
you know, just now?
Not really. No, not really. Of course, like with a lot of people, when fall comes, I like watching football.
Oh, baby.
You know, which isn't really an activity per se. No. In some way, during the summers, I like to take walks if I can.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fair weather walker. Mm-hmm. And so, like, as the weather gets worse, the walking goes down. I do other exercise.
Sure.
But as far as like walks through the neighborhood or whatnot, that actually decreases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's even true, like, with, like a little bonfire out back.
Oh yeah.
You know, sometimes, you know, I'll do those even more in the summer, even though like when it's at the peak time, it like can't get started till like 10 o'clock, which is annoying.
Yeah, right.
But when it gets too cold, which some people consider fire weather, like it starts to be even too cold for me.
Yeah. And then it's windy too. And
yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and so yeah, not a whole lot of fall traditions, I don't think. As I tell people all the time, I'm really very boring.
I mean, that's okay. That's a good way to live.
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Jesus loves me. You know, I don't.
Yeah, we love you. It's fine.
So, yeah, I can be a boring child of God. I'm good with that. Totally good with that.
Perfect.
I have the child of God part, and that's all you need.
That's about it.
You know?
All you need is G-O-D.
So. You got it.
Well, that's good.
But some exciting things just going on this weekend here at the parish. women's retreat is going on. So yes. Say a little prayer for them. You know, retreats can always just be good, you mm-hmm. know, and encounter moments and just little turning point moments, even if it's nothing super dramatic, you know. It's just always good, and grateful for Sister and all the her team that are putting that on this weekend. And Family Faith Formation is back on this weekend after a 2-week break. Mm-hmm. And so kind of going for our second half of the first half of our year here.
Second quarter.
And, let's call it that. Yeah. Let's call it the second quarter. So, always excited about that.
Wonderful.
And really grateful for all of that. So, don't have to worry about having something to eat on Sunday again. You know,
certainly not.
So it's always nice, you know, God bless all the people that make the stuff for the Faith Formation participants. Mm-hmm. And I've certainly appreciated it as well.
It's quite a meal.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. We've had a lot of baptisms. It's been a lot of good stuff.
A lot of great going on here. Yep.
Yeah. Some special days coming up this week. We have the Solemnity of All Saints mm-hmm. on Friday. So Holy Day of Obligation, which is great because our whole point in life is to be a saint.
Yep.
So, you know, in some way, we're like celebrating those who've gone before us and who are already there and who are rooting us on, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And so we have masses at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. on Friday the 1st, then 5 p.m. on the 1st. So hopefully, you know, a lot of people can sneak out of work early on a Friday. So, you know, you still got your Friday whole evening. That's why we put it at 5. And come and celebrate all the saints, which of course includes people we would have known. Because if you're in heaven, you're a saint.
Yep.
And so certain ones we know are in heaven because of their intercession and bringing healings, you know, canonization process and all that. You know, but we know there's plenty of others up there as well, and we want to give everyone their shout out, which isn't for their good because they're in heaven; they don't need any more shouts out. But just reminds us too of our ultimate goal and what God has made us for. All Saints. I was just thinking, when I was at my last parish, on All Saints or close to that. The third graders would always do like the saint project. I think a lot of schools maybe do that. So they learn about a saint. They spend a whole bunch of time on this and they do a great job. They like write a little paper and all this kind of stuff. And at the mass, like at the end, they all, because they come dressed as their saint.
Yeah.
You know, and they process in. And then at the end, they all get up and talk about their saint, you know, which is great. And so I remember a few years ago, small little girl gets up. Her name was Vivian. So she did her like namesake. Saint who really is Bibiana, you know, and she's like, my name is Saint Bibiana. I lived in Italy. I was born in this year. I died in this year. I am the patron saint of headaches and hangovers. And, yeah, like at the all school mass, I'm sitting in the presider's chair, like, and I'm like biting my knuckles. So I don't just die right there.
That's wild.
And apparently one of the eighth graders said to the teacher, did she say what I think she said? Well, look at Father's face. And I'm just up there like, I learned something that day.
You did, yes.
I learned something that day. It was great.
Wow.
So you never know what might go down in All Saints.
That's beautiful. So. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And then the next day, on November 2nd, All Souls, you know, for those who are still on the way. You know, and that's like the great two-for with this feast day.
Yeah.
You know, we're celebrating and honoring those who've already made it and those who have departed this life but are still on the way and are in need of our prayers. So that's, you know, all the saints pray for us, all the souls, we pray for them. You know, and then so we're all wrapped up in there still together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all still connected, even in death, because, you know, Christ has conquered death, and ultimately there is no such thing. We're all still related, connected, and pray for one another, and that's just one more beautiful thing about, you know, belonging to the church. It's not just the people we have down here on earth, but it's so much broader than that. And so there's a mass at 10 a.m. on Saturday. So I know the second, you know, kind of fell on a Saturday this year, and so we're in particular way remembering all those in our parish and relatives of parishioners who have departed this past year, and there'll be a little reading of names, and then we'll have a little mass for them. But of course, anyone, of course, is welcome to come and remember to pray for faithful departed. That's, you know, a lot of times in the bulletin you see a lot of names mentioned, and most of the time, of course, they're for people who are deceased, and we're I'm offering mass for them, you know, to again get them kind of like the final push home, and it's good for all of us to do that, you know, to pray for those who have died. And so once they make it to heaven, they don't need the prayers, but we just don't know when that is, and so it's good to pray for those who've gone before us. And so November 1st and 2nd, just great. It's great days of just remembering all that. So 9 a.m., 5 p.m. on Friday the 1st, 10 a.m. on the Saturday the 2nd.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. Yeah. Good times. Yeah. And in the meantime, we have the 30th Sunday.
30th Sunday.
In ordinary time. So you probably notice I use like this lecture workbook here that we pass out.
Running out of gas.
I know. It's a few more pages left, you know, and the cover's looking pretty haggard because sometimes I carry this thing with me other places. You see it's taped up here.
It does.
Yeah, it's been through a year.
It's well loved.
It is well loved. You know, I take notes in this, and sometimes I'll take it back and forth to home and stuff to look at readings and my notes and see what inspiration lies and all that. Yeah. So it's time to get another one because it's before it completely falls apart. So
yeah, drive the wheels off that thing.
That's good. Yeah.
So it's meant for.
I got my money's worth out of this.
That's right.
Yeah. So we're in Mark chapter 10, where we've been the last few weeks. And this is verses 46 to 52. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out, "All the more, son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way.
Very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot here.
There is.
There's a lot here. So, yeah. So first, you know, there's that Jesus, son of David, had pity on me. There's a whole Christian prayer, maybe especially popular among Eastern Christians, but a lot of us in the West, you know, can pray it, of course, too. It's called the Jesus Prayer.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
And it really, it's Jesus Christ, son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It kind of comes right from this, you know, Jesus, son of David, have pity on me. It's the same, you know, and so some, again, especially maybe in the East, Eastern Christians, Orthodox, you know, Eastern Catholics, whatnot, it's a little more prevalent of a practice to pray that, you know, sometimes even like in a repeated mantra, like in your head, and it can just become the backdrop. When I was in Finley, they had like bells in the church, and so they would ding every 15 minutes.
Oh.
And so every time I kind of made it my practice, that was my first assignment, when I heard that bell ring, I would do the Jesus Prayer.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So on that quarter hour and whatever, just ding, like Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So I don't do it as much anymore, unfortunately. Yeah. Sometimes if I'm praying at church, you know, I say that like as the last thing before I leave. I think it encapsulates so much of my need, you know. It's a great prayer. Bartimaeus is crying that out. It's like the OG Jesus prayer, you know, which, you know, he had to have heard of Jesus. And so, you know, hearing that Jesus was coming, it's just amazing that he cries out for him.
Right.
You know, and to have mercy. And, you know, people are telling them to shut up, which is like, right. You know, ridiculous.
Come on, dude.
Yeah. You know, but I guess they haven't learned to bring people to Jesus yet. Yeah. Of course, he's always accessible. Yeah. And even that line, what do you want me to do for you?
Right. He asked him the question.
Yeah.
That's what poked out to me. Like, he asked him the question. Like, he knew he was blind. He knew that he had problems. Like, he's Jesus. Like, he knows everything. But he, like, let him tell him what he needed him to do.
Yeah.
And after he asked him for mercy. Like, it's just kind of, again, that's a model for all of us to follow. Like, hey, listen, I'm a sinner. Here's what I need from you.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I know, isn't there like a hand method to praying? Like something about like, you start with like thanksgiving and then you say like what you're sorry for. Mm-hmm. And then you ask like, what you say, what is that?
Do you know? Yeah. I know there's some different, right, kind of ways of that. I'm thinking about is the acts. It's A-C-T-S. Yeah. You know, it's adoration, contrition, thanksgiving, supplication, right? That you're praising God, then you're saying what you're sorry for, what you're thankful for, you know, your petitions. I know a guy, my former parish, who's done a lot of youth ministry for a lot of years, tries to teach this prayer, you know, using your hand, like you're praying for yourself and for family and for, I forget what they all are, but I know he always tried to teach college kids that as a way of remembering, you know, things to pray for. But to your point, I love that, you know, it's that intentionality,
yeah.
You know, because sometimes we can be a little, I don't know, vague, but that Jesus actually wants us to spell out what it is that we want, even though he knows it anyway. Like, he wants our participation and to really kind of say it, like, you know, even like in some prayer ministry, like, what do you want to ask of the Lord? Oh, whatever. You know, I certainly got caught up in that.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, well, no, like, how about something specific? And so there's a model here to say, like, you know, what specifically and where in your life do you really need Jesus, you know, to move?
Yeah, I have an image pulled up here from Christian Challenge. I just Googled it. I just put hand prayer method. And there's actually six things that you could do. This actually has Bible verses with it. So the first one, your thumb is petition, which is Psalm 5:3. And then there's intercessions, which looks like Colossians 4:12. Confession, then, on the middle finger. That's
appropriate.
How appropriate that is.
Mm-hmm.
1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. And then thanksgiving on the ring finger. Ephesians 5:19-20. Praise. Psalm 34:1-3. And then at the palm, it's listening. And that's 1 Samuel 3:10. So I guess you can
speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
Yeah. So you can use all those. That's really cool. But petition, intercession, confession, thanksgiving, praise, listening.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Nice. All I did was remember that from a while back.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Is that specific? You know, cause sometimes it's hard to know what to pray.
Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he had a very specific ask, right? Like, he just knew he couldn't see.
Yeah.
And, you know, are there things out there for us that we want, but maybe we don't know how to ask for it, or we don't know if we should ask for it, or if we don't know how to ask for it, you know?
Right. And that's what I love about his petition. It's just like 4 words. 5 words, Master, I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not this big explanation.
Right.
And of course, even his blindness, you know, it's sort of emblematic for all of us. You know, in our, you know, our own kind of blindness.
Washed away my blindness.
Exactly. Yeah, so our spiritual blindness, you know, or whatever it might be, like, Lord, help me to see, like, where I'm supposed to go in this relationship. You know, Lord, help me to see, I know the struggles I have at work and how I need help with that. Mm-hmm. You know, help me to see what gets in the way of my relationship with you. Help me to see and how I'm, like, trying to raise children. You know, help me to see as I'm trying to deal with sick, you know, parents. You know, so there's so many ways, even just using that prayer, help me to see, you know, that can apply to so many own situations in our life.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I've told this story before, but it's funny, so I'm going to do it anyways. So
You're 156 out of 159 runners. Oh, yeah, another story. Sorry.
Man, you really got some dirt on me, man.
Just one thing.
You could really ruin me if you wanted
to. You brought it up on the podcast.
I know.
I didn't do digging for this.
I know. It was my own fault for letting you. Yeah. That's good. That was good, though. Actually, yeah, it was 156. I was going to say it was 150. No, it was 156. There was the one time where Marissa got her eyes dilated. And, you know, I had to rush there because she had driven herself. And so I had to go and pick her up. And, you know, it's like she could see too much. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, but she was in some ways, she was blind to what she needed to see. Like I had to take her back because she couldn't drive because she could see too much. But it was in seeing too much that she actually couldn't see. Mm-hmm. Right, so maybe sometimes we're focused on things that make it seem like you know, our eyes are dilated, like we're so fixated on something that it takes us away from what we really need to see, which is God.
Yeah, or like my LASIK story that I told, where I, you know, it seemed like that laser was all over the place, and like, no, you just need to focus.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh, you're like a cat, you know.
Yeah, batting that thing around him with my eyes. Yeah,
that's good. So yeah, I think there's a lot to garner from this particular passage here. And I think, again, from what we've both kind of pulled out, is that it's important for us to see and not have, you know, not have the blinders on. Just look at ourselves, look at our relationship with God, look at our prayer, really.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can just be that simple, yeah. Right? Help me to see Jesus, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Like, yeah. It doesn't have to be anything too buttoned up.
Yeah.
Like, Lord, you don't have to send Jesus an executive summary every time you're going to, you know, pray to him. Just let God, whoever. Yeah. And again, all the saints, like you can pray to saints for intercession.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. They've been through it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like us.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord's prayer, always good. Yeah. What's cool about this passage too, you know, so much is happening. It, you know, the details can get lost, you know?
Yeah.
He threw aside his cloak. You know, like he kind of tossed aside his old life.
Right,
yeah. Especially like he threw aside his cloak and sprang up. Like, especially if you're blind and you know there's all these people around and like you don't know. Like someone
you might not have depth perception very well.
Well, someone could be like hovering right over you, spring up, you might hit it. Like, but he is like without abandon.
Yeah.
He threw off sort of his cloak.
Maybe it was because it was ugly. He saw it. Finally, he was like, this is terrible. Right. Yeah, I want to get rid of this. Uh-huh. This is so last
and
year.
You know, he just sort of sprang up and came to Jesus.
Yep.
It says he came to him. So there was some movement, even though he was still blind, you know, which is just amazing. There's a lot of trust there.
Yeah.
And desire. Like, I just got to get to this guy.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, and that's some of it, too. And maybe what gets in the way for all of us is that, yeah, do we really want to throw the cloak aside, you know, or are we just unwilling to do that,
yep.
You know, to make that sacrifice? And we've actually heard about that, it seems like, for the last several weeks, you know,
yep.
The rich young man who, you know, went away sad because he had many possessions. Like, what do we, you know, what do we need to sort of throw aside in order to go to Jesus to get what we're really looking for deep down?
Yep.
And I think that's just, there's a lot we can reflect on there.
I agree, Father. Well, let's go to Jesus right now.
Yeah. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Master, we want to see. And so help us to identify where we have blindness in our life, especially just in our relationship with you, and give us that grace to throw that aside and to spring up and to come to you and to really just trust in your goodness and just be specific and bold in our prayers, just knowing that all that is in your hands and in your love for us, shown in your death and resurrection, that you always have something in store for us, even if it's not what we ask for and can see for ourselves. And so we place our trust in you. Also, God, just help us to, in our relationships and interactions, help us to lead people to you and not away. And so give us, Lord, the grace to do that as well. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love, in the Holy Spirit, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Thanks, everybody. God bless you. See you soon.